Hey, good morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. So glad you're here with us today. So glad that you're doing great over the holidays. I believe you are. And this is an interesting thing they were talking about this morning. It was talking about how people are lonely in the United States of America, you know, according to a survey of 3,000 adults. And what's interesting about this is Americans are growing lonelier, according to new research released Wednesday, even when they're not actually alone, which I found kind of odd. An increasing number of middle-aged and older adults, especially those in their 40s and 50s, are lonely, according to a report released by the AARP, a nonprofit advocacy group for older Americans. Among the loneliest are adults from 45 to 49 years old. That's odd to me, especially if they're married and they've got children. 49% identified as lonely, as well as respondents who never married. 62% were married lonely and are not working. 57% were lonely, and whose household income fell below $25,000 a year. 63% are lonely. The findings are based on the surveys of more than 3,000 U.S. residents ages 45 and older, conducted in August the 25th, 28th, and 2010. Data was collected through an online research and panel representation of the United States government. You know what's interesting to me is this. A lot of people who watch the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, they've contacted me and they said, you know, you guys are like one of our only social outlets that we get every day. We get to come into your home. We get to hear you guys cut up and joke about stuff on the show. And we absolutely love it. And we love being with you. And we feel like we're your family, which we are, by the way. And so it means a lot to me when you guys tell me that. But the sad part about it is we have to ask ourselves a question. I have so many people who basically couldn't have children or weren't able to have children or didn't want to have children who, when they get older, they find out they really wanted to have kids, wanted to have grandkids, or they have, you know, a family that's been basically fractured by various reasons, through divorce or et cetera, and now they feel as though they've been isolated. It's really, really important, if you feel you've been isolated, that you need to get out and do things. At least go to church. Get involved with groups in church. They're going to have dinners. They're going to have events for church members. Get to know people in your church. You know, you don't need to be going out to bars and going out and getting drunk.
Well, and a lot of times the churches, I mean, especially if you get involved, they'll have small groups and stuff that they have. Different groups and stuff that you can go out and do stuff with people.
That's what I've learned. You know, I have a group of friends that I contact on a regular basis. I send them texts and I call them up and I talk to them. I've got a friend of mine right now. His girlfriend left, moved to another country. And he called me up last night, and he's crying. I'm crying. The guy's in his 60s. He's crying. He's in love with this girl, and she left. And, you know, there's various problems associated with the relationship. I'm not going to get into that today on the air. But the reality is that he's really, really lonely already because, you know, the person that was the most important thing in his life left. And so make sure that if you do have a relationship with someone, that you really hold on to it dearly and you treat it like it's a Stradivarius violin with great care and really, really take care of it. And always do what Zig Ziglar said. He said you have to have courtship after marriage. He taught me that a long time ago. In other words, once you get married, don't say, okay, I got married, now I'm good. I'm going to gain 100 pounds. Don't do that. Once you get married, you go, well, I don't have to take her out to dinner anymore. We already did it. I got married to her. Don't do that. Take her out to dinner. You know, and do things with her. Go on vacation. Go get hotels. You know, go to the beach. Do things. Treat her like you're still courting her. Treat him like you're still courting him and make him realize how very, very important he is. People are always asking me, how were you married for so long? That's how. You treat your best friend, your lover, your wife, whatever, like you really want her around and take care of her. And one more thing I want to share with you on this is really important because it helps to maintain relationships. Do 100% reciprocity.
Yes.
That's you have no
50-50
idea.
50-50 isn't real.
50-50.
It doesn't work.
50-50 fight. I want it my way this time. It's 50% of the time my right. No, don't do that. You know, just ask yourself a question. Is it really that important on how you put the silverware in the drawer? Who gives a garbage about that? Who cares? Are you really going to pitch an unbelievable fit because somebody didn't put the cap back on the toothpaste?
That's true.
I mean, really, is it worth that? You know, learn how to do 100% both directions. Ask yourself a question. Is what they are asking me unreasonable? Is it? Well, sometimes it might be. You know, but sometimes it might just be something basic and do this. It's kind of like playing poker, and I'm not a big poker player. I really don't even know how to play poker, but the reality, in fact, I've never played poker. I guess I need to disclaimer.
I didn't teach you how to play poker.
But I've watched it on TV.
You need to learn.
But I've watched on TV where they have a bunch of chips.
Well, we'll do is instead of doing chips, we'll bet with purple sticks.
Hey, we can do a pack of purple sticks. That'd be great. Get me going in the morning. But the reality is I know that a lot of times people go all in. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you don't need to go all in over stupid stuff.
That's a fact.
You know, and I see this in relationships that are very, very young. You know, very, very, you know, people have been dating somebody for a very short period of time. You know, they've been seeing each other for a week. And all of a sudden it's like, well, you told me you wanted to drive and I want to drive tonight and I'm going all in. You let me drive or I'm dumping you. And they're like, what are you going all in over? Who gets to drive tonight? I mean, what the heck? I mean, whatever. Goodbye. And you go, well, that was a waste. Save your chips. And every once in a while, you know, very rarely, and honestly, you very rarely do you ever have to go all in. Everything. I'm going to bet everything on this hand. Don't be doing it.
It better be a big hand.
It better be a major reason.
Because if you're bluffing it, they're like, all right, well, I'm done then.
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, well, I was just kidding.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't.
By the way, this wasn't a game to me. We were playing for blood. Now we're done.
I was that serious about it.
And so be very, very careful. And don't, you know, if somebody's driving, says, you're driving 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. You need to stop. Or I'm going to pitch a fit in the car. Really? 5 miles an hour over the speed limit? You're going to pitch a fit? Well, you know what? You're breaking the law. Okay.
Well, that relationship just needs to end then.
The thing about it is I've learned over the years, don't be petty. And don't be doing that. But if something's a really big deal, just say, this is a really big deal. I mean, I can't deal with this.
That's a fact.
And if the other person's giving you 100% both directions, they're going to say, okay, we're going to fix this. It really is. I mean, very important, but very few times are things that big of a deal. They really aren't.
This is an article I'm going to cover here, and the articles, the topics on this with children now are coming in almost every single week.
Now, let me say one other thing. This is another reason that people get lonely. They get on that Facebook mess, and they see all these
people. Everybody else's lives.
Everybody else having fun. Everybody else is at a big party, and you're saying, oh, this sucks. My life is awful. Everybody else having a party. Why am I so lonely? And what happens? You start talking that way to yourself.
And you subconsciously compare your life to everybody else's.
And remember, always look at the good things. I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. He had a series. It was called Better Homes and Marriages. And his wife was on there with him. And she said that she used to compare her husband to everybody else. And that whatever he did wrong, she made sure he knew. She knew he knew about it. And she never talked about anything good that he was doing.
Yeah.
The guy's a very good business provider. He's good, be a very successful business guy. But she had to pick on every single thing he did wrong. And finally she said, I realized that if I didn't stop doing that, I wasn't going to have a marriage anymore.
No.
And what I've learned is this. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody does things and says things they shouldn't ought to say. And the quickest thing that you can always learn about somebody, here's the quickest way to figure out who a person is. If they screw up. I mean, they mess up on something. If they say, please forgive me, it was unintentional, or I forgot, or whatever. That's not a narcissist. A narcissist can't do that. A narcissist will never, ever admit they're wrong. They always have to deflect. Well, you misunderstood this. You misinterpreted this. And it's always somebody else's fault. They never own it. So if you screw up, if you forget to tell somebody happy birthday, and they're in your family, if you forget to do it, because you're busy, you know, just say, please forgive me, I forgot. Don't come up with a bunch of excuses. Well, it's your fault. You didn't call me on your birthday. You should have called. Don't do that. Just say, I messed up. I ask you to forgive me. Please forgive me. A narcissist can't do that. And if you're dating somebody or you're married to somebody, and if you're married to somebody who's a narcissist, good luck with that. That's a rough one. But the reality is learn how to ask for forgiveness. Really, really, really. And learn how to tell somebody they're right. You get to a subject. You're talking about whatever. And then they say, and they were right, and you didn't think it was going to happen that way. Hey, you know what? You were right again. They love now. When you say that to somebody, you were right again, they love it. You were right again, and pretty soon they go, yeah, I'm right again. And what it does, it builds that camaraderie between the two of you, and you guys can joke and build each other. Tell each other you're good looking. Tell each other that you're in great shape. Tell each other that you look nice when you get dressed. Just build each other up. Words of affirmation do so much to build it up and maintain physical touch and, you know, and gifts and all the rest of that stuff. And, you know, and hold hands, you know, lay in front of the fireplace if you have a fireplace and have somebody give you a head massage. You know, guys love that, by the way. And just sit there and have the intimacy. It's not always about sex in a relationship. It's about the physical intimacy. Very, very important people understand that. And then you avoid all this loneliness stuff. Loneliness is very, very real, by the way. And you can be in the middle of a household to be lonely. You have to learn how to interact with other people and to be part of the group and group dynamics in order to avoid a lot of this.
That's well said. Yeah. And another factor of too is you can't just sit around and complain about being lonely with refusing to do anything, especially if you got people that invite you to do stuff. I've known people like that too. Well, nobody wants to hang out with me. I said, dude, we've all tried to get a hold of you the last 10 times. We've called you up, asked you to go out. Oh, I'm busy. Like, okay, you're
well,
busy.
Well, now what happens too, and I stand guilty of this, okay? Please forgive me, Austin, if I haven't answered you immediately.
I'm just bringing that up.
No, this is well, it was directed at me. Okay. Okay. Here's the thing. Sometimes you got to turn your telephone on.
Yeah. Oh, no, not just that. Sometimes you got to make time for everybody as well.
But sometimes you have to walk 100 feet to your neighbor's house, which is your dad, and say, hey, dad, what do you want to do?
I was talking about that. That was related. But one thing, though, and this is what ties into it. I have seen direct issues with families, with marriages, with loneliness, with people that I've met and that I know that are friends because of the social media and what it's doing to the mental landscape of the human population.
It sucks the bandwidth out of the relationship. What do I mean by that? You only have, let's say you could only handle 100 megabytes of data per minute.
Correct. Okay? Your brain.
And now all of a sudden you jump on social media and you're living on social media and you're burning up 100 megabytes per minute in social media and you're not thinking about anybody else that's real. This is the danger of this AI stuff and going in with these goggles and basically burning
virtual reality. Yeah. Yeah.
And now you don't have the bandwidth to be in a real relationship anymore.
And what happens is now too, and they're showing this with kids. I'm going to talk about it briefly in this article in a second here. Is what they're saying is that the attention span of children is becoming so insanely short. Because nothing can even come up to as good as what type of basically dopamine triggers that they're getting with this. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, when I was younger, you know, everywhere, there was no phones back then. Everywhere we went, you know, we go to a restaurant, I get a piece of paper and a crayon at the restaurant, right? They still do that. My kids always do this. They don't get phones.
I did that with Hunter, didn't I?
Right. Yeah.
He loved it.
We play tic-tac-toe. They're calling. They're doing stuff. Well, when they actually get involved in another, you know, if they're talking to somebody, they're going outside or they're doing something, those stimuli are even greater than just coloring on a paper. So you constantly have these bigger stimuli that are interactive in outdoor realms and indoor realms with people and friends and relationships. And so they're constantly getting natural, true, organic stimuli. Well, when you give someone a phone and it's got this flicker rate that's insane and they're scrolling through social media looking at the best of the best of the best of the best of online, even though most of it's fake anyways, and suddenly they now go back to reality. Well, my gosh, this is boring.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm looking at all these people that I'm friends with online, and they're driving Bugattis and private jets and yachts. And wow, my life sucks. Why don't I do that? I'm sitting here doing nothing at a restaurant. Don't do that. Don't let yourself fall into that. Make sure you decide you want to follow goals and you make sure your kids are working and they're following goals and they're doing things, because these kids now, they're in a very, very detrimental phase in society. We're watching a complete downgrade of society and mental health with these young children. And it's bad.
I'm going to brag on your son again, my grandson. So we're out. He and me and Sia are having dinner the other night.
Oh, did you fix that PVC the other day?
PVC.
You had to fix all that drain lines, pipes done?
Oh, no. This is great.
I never asked you about that.
Well, no, what happens is we went ahead. They have this little puzzle where you find words that are hidden inside the puzzle.
Yeah.
He's wrapped up doing it. He did a great job doing that. I mean, we had a great time. And then he ate some of that Columbia bread. Oh, he loved that. Oh, I mean, we poured the butter to it. He loved it. And then we got to walk around, you know, celebration with him. It was a blast. And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, I brought him over to the house, and I had to go underneath the cabinets and basically take a hot water heater out. And I took him underneath the cabinets with me. And he goes, "Well, that stuff stinks." just don't breathe it. And
the PVC glue.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I showed him what we were doing, how we were cutting the pipes, how we were putting the pipes together. He watched it all. And then yesterday, you don't even know this yet. This is brand new. I've got 4 magnolia trees in the yard. And they're like dying because of lack of water, because my sprinkler system like doesn't work ever, and you know it's horrible. And so I've got 4 trees, and so we did. They were too far away to run a water hose to, so I took the side by side and I put a 7-gallon bucket of water on the back, filled it up.
Yeah.
And I took it over to the tree and I had him water it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watered it. Yeah. I showed him exactly what to do. Next time I did the next tree, we came back and I said, "Okay," I said, "I'm gonna have you pour the water this time." He grabbed that 7-gallon bucket of water.
Oh, that's my fight. Yeah.
He got a hold of it. I got wet. I said, "Don't worry about it." But he got it on the tree. And then the next time he drove. He drove the side by side and he did the whole thing. I watched him. Then I said, "Okay, now you're doing it yourself. Now you're going to go yourself." This time I rode with him.
Yeah.
No. This time I said, "Do it yourself now. Go do the fourth one yourself." Okay. He did.
Take it all the way out there.
Oh, yeah. And so he did it again. And then I said, now, okay, now water all four of them again.
But he did it, too.
And he did it. He did all four of them again. And I said, you want to do it again? He goes, no, I'm done. I was getting to be too much like work, isn't it?
Welcome to life, but, 9 years old.
But that, yeah, I mean, it's you're nine. It's time.
Time's not working.
Mumbo's arbeiten. You're nine. It's time to work the rest of your life, you know? And that's happened to me at eight.
Yeah.
But it was really, really good because I engaged him in doing activities other than sitting on a stinking iPad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he loved it.
Yeah.
And then I gave him $10.
Yeah, well, he said he told me, I didn't know what he was doing yet. Now it makes sense. He comes back here and goes, Dad, I got a job. I said, you got a job? He goes, yeah, I'm working for Upper now. I'm working for Upper. I said, oh, you're working for Upper? I was like, yep, I got a job. I'm going to do this twice a week.
I told him.
And I said, oh, what are you doing? He said, I'm watering the magnolias and all that. And I said, oh, did he show you how to do it all? He said, oh, yeah, I'm driving side by side. I'm doing it. I got a job now. I'm working. I said, you don't be bragging about that forever. You're like, oh, gosh. I said, but he wants to save more money. He wants to buy stuff. And so that's what goes on to here now is they're saying that basically kids that are getting smartphones before the age of 12 are having much, 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 much higher risk of depression, insufficient sleep, and depression. They want to say here this peer-reviewed study published in the Journal of Pediatrics of December 1st just came out. Researchers analyzed data from 10,588 children collected from National Institute of Health study. Participants had a mean age of 12. 63% owned a smartphone at age 12. Think about that number for a second. Almost a third of the children at the age of 12 already own a smartphone. That's wild.
Who's paying for this stuff?
The parents. I know. The parents. The derelict parents don't want to be parents. So according to the study conclusion, smartphone ownership.
Wait, let's stop. Not all the parents that are doing this are derelict. They're basically misinformed.
Or they're lazy.
Or they don't realize how bad they are.
Or they're lazy.
Because I don't think anybody, if they knew the dangers of this, would actually do this to a child if they cared about the child.
Or they're lazy.
I'm going to say that.
My generation has turned into one of the laziest, sorriest generations I've ever seen as far as upbringing of children.
My generation is
lazy as a box of rocks when it comes to raising kids. They don't want to do anything. Nothing. They want to lay around, focus on why their life sucks so bad because they stare at social media all day, and now they're deflecting it on their children and giving their kids smartphones, and they're having this vicious cycle that's going to start. I've gone to numerous of my friends about it. I'm like, you sit around, you complain about you don't have this. I've talked to friends I know. You complain about this. You complain about finances. I said, do something. Do something. Direct action fixes all. Just do something. Get outside and do something. Go for a walk. Get some natural serotonin in your brain. Go start exercising. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I talk to people that are having a bunch of health problems or they're overweight, and they're like, well, I don't know what to do about it. I know what to do about it. Stop eating so much food. Just stop. Have direct action. Get outside and do something. Go exercise. Stop being lazy.
Well, a lot of times it's because they're lonely, bud.
Well, yeah. You know what makes you feel way better? Mm-hmm. Going out and just doing deadlifts till you puke. Do squats till you puke.
He's joking, by the way.
Am I?
Well, that make me feel better if I squat till I puke.
You're not focused on being lonely anymore, are you?
Yeah, I don't want my heart to explode. No, don't do this. He's joking, guys. He's joking.
No, I think so many times now people want to focus on, well, I got anxiety. Oh, I've got anxiety. I'm so anxious all the time. Guess what? Take anxiety and use it for something. Focus on why you're being anxious and figure out how to fix it. Figure out what's causing the issue. Anxiety is a natural response sometimes to certain things.
The stress, yeah.
Right. So everybody takes this as bad thing. Oh, I got anxiety. Well, focus on what you need to do to not be anxious. Focus on what you need to do to take anxiety and use it as a tool.
The Bible says don't be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
It's very clear. It says who by worrying can add a single moment to their life. All you're going to do is take time away from your life. You know, it's like this. Well, I don't know what to do. I'm divorced and I'm single. I hate to say it. Go get on a Christian dating app. If that's the word for you.
Direct action.
No.
Do something.
Do something.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I remember when Sharon passed away years ago. I mean, I thought, what am I going to do? You know, I'm not going to a bar.
Yeah.
You know, and so I got on dating apps. And you think, well, how'd that work out for you? Well, I've got a girlfriend. But the reality is that, you know, it was a lot of work. And the learning curve was steep as all get out. But what I'll tell you what it was, you weren't bored anymore.
No.
And you weren't lonely anymore because you had to do something.
We listen to this show, especially when it comes to health, man. The learning curve doesn't have to be that steep, guys.
Not on health.
I've given you the entire cheat sheet. I got a whole website on it. I gave you the answers to the exam. Do this, do this, do this. You want to fix your blood sugar? Do this.
This is way past Cliff's notes. This is the answer.
Yeah. Run on berberine and cinnamon extract. Cut out high glycemic carbohydrates.
Oh, by the way, a new study came out. Berberine now is being used as a potential treatment for Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
Did you see that?
I pulled the article up. I was reading about it earlier. I wanted to verify.
Remember that day I was doing the whole thing on berberine? I had this article and I started talking about all the stuff it does.
Yes.
I thought, wow.
It's enormous. And I'm getting so much customer feedback from our DHB, our dihydroberberine.
Oh, you talk about wanting to lose weight quick. Boy, I don't do it.
Yeah, and it's like, and that's what I said. Just do something. If you're not exercising, when you get home from work, instead of watching 8 hours of perverted Netflix, imagine that.
God, I loathe Netflix.
Or just unsubscribe to them and stop paying money to them. There's a bigger option. Go outside and go walk for 15 minutes. If you could go to work, if you can drive a car, if you can walk in your house, you have the ability to go for a walk around the neighborhood or go to basically walk on a treadmill or go on an elliptical or bounce on a trampoline. Do something.
I do that. I do the treadmill and elliptical and the trampoline every day.
And that's the same thing with kids here. If you know this is a problem, if you know these kids are having a higher increase of depression, higher increase of obesity, higher increase of massive sleep problems, and they're doing this, and it's all being directly linked to smartphones, you know it. Every week there's another study, another peer-reviewed study of what these phones are doing to kids. Maybe you need to limit the time on their phones.
And here the other thing you got to look at, too, on the phones, and this is a problem. I have a friend of mine who basically had a couple of girls. Okay?
Yeah.
And when they were 10 and 12, the 12-year-old got hold of the internet, you know, kind of hacked into the iPads that their parents had left, even though they had codes on them, and ended up going into the porn world. And then they dragged the 10-year-old into the porn world. And the behavioral problems that those girls have experienced now for years because of that are kind of crazy. And so you have to ask yourself a question. If you're going to let your kid have an iPhone when they're 7 or 8 years old, is it going to create permanent damage to that child? Now, I'm asking you that question.
What's the upside? What is the upside? What is the risk and reward scenario with giving a young child open access iPads or iPhones? Even if you have adult blockers.
Oh, it doesn't matter. They hack through that stuff so easy.
Even if you did, even if you take that scenario, oh, I've done this. I'm okay, whatever. I don't even believe you believe that. The internet's way too open. The only thing that I've ever told anybody, if you want to do, and I have a family or friends of mine that did this, their kid's like 12 or 13 years old, and they went to Walmart, and they got them one of the doggone flip phones with the prepaid cards on there is no internet. It's a prepaid phone card. You can make calls on
like a beeper.
So when they need to get a hold of them, or they're going somewhere, they're going out with their family, or their grandparents are taking them somewhere, they need to get a hold of them, they call. They charge 500 minutes on it at a time.
Well, you know what's funny? Your kids go, I'm embarrassed because I have this phone. Well, take it away from them. No, take it away.
Have a phone.
Take it away for a week. Say, okay, you don't need it for a week.
If it's that big of embarrassment to you, you don't need it then, do you?
But when you're about 12 to 13 to 14 to 15, for some reason, the type of phone that you have, even when 17, 18, 19, 20, the type of phone, I had this one, the one dad I knew, every year his son had to have a new phone.
Yeah.
Remember that? You know who I'm talking about. I mean, every year, had to have a new phone, had to have the latest, greatest. And finally, the kid started lying to his dad.
Yeah.
So his dad decided that he's going to stop the lie. He took his diesel Silverado and he put the phone underneath the front tire and said, the lies are going to stop, or I'm backing over this wretched thing.
Yeah.
And guess what? The lie stopped instantly.
Yeah.
The problem is that, you know, a lot of parents aren't willing to do that. I can't believe you're going to run over a brand new phone. Well, I'd rather have mental health for my children than have mental health issues for my children because of a telephone. I can't tell you how many phones I broke in half.
When you're a young kid, dude, just if you're going somewhere and you need a phone like that, get the prepaid ones. Keep the internet off of them. They don't need to sit there and have to have full internet access. If you really think that's a good idea for a young kid to have full internet open access on an iPhone at 12 years old, in my opinion, you shouldn't be a parent.
Oof.
I'm just being honest with you. If you really think that's a good idea, or you're either so inept and living under a rock, you have no idea about reality, or you just don't care. Either which way.
You know, I think a lot of parents, though, honestly, Austin, the kids get wrapped up with their friends, and they don't want to even have anything to do with the parents anymore.
That's okay. That's fine.
No.
They can have a little flip phone with prepaid minutes on it.
Well, they could. I agree with you. But the problem is, it's not that a lot of these parents are inept. These parents are burned out. They're working 60, 70 hours a week, two different jobs, three different jobs, trying to pay the bills for these brats. Ugh. Because sometimes they are brats,
yeah,
and they got this horrible marriage. Nobody wants to have sex anymore. I said that. Should have said that. Kind of delete that one, but it's true. And all of a sudden, there's no more intimacy. And everybody, the wife's working full time, the guy's working full time, they're all exhausted all the time. And the kids are brats. They got right. two, you know.
And, so, no, and then anything, about it, and then any wife watched this with couples before. You can always tell. And oh man, this is going to piss some people off. I'm going to say it though. You can always tell the level of intimacy and the quality of a marriage when the husband and wife are together, and how much they sit on their phones by themselves, fully apart,
and ignore each other.
I've watched it. You sit there and they're both sitting somewhere on the couch and they're completely separate sides of the couch. And I've been in the kitchen for making dinner for some time at somebody's house and they're doing that. And I'm like, they're just sitting over there on the phone the whole time, just scrolling. And I'm like,
ignoring each other.
I'm going to take 5 minutes, walk over there, have a conversation, see how they're doing for the day. Hey, how was your day? I had a rough day, but it was yours.
Then you find out they're sleeping in a separate bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't do that. That's bad.
But you're right, though. If that's going on, and now you got the kids that are wide open, the parents are just like, take the phone and just do something else.
What happens, the kids are in survival. The parents are in survival mode.
They are.
It's not that they're bad parents. It's just that life didn't turn out the way they wanted it to, and they didn't want to work three jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to have to work 80 hours a week. They don't want to do all that.
Did you get your hair cut?
I got my hair cut.
It was good.
Thanks.
Yeah. It was getting a little
I was turning into a hippie.
I noticed that.
Thanks for noticing on the air.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can't like it.
You know me. I don't have much monitor on my filter. No, I just pretty much...
Here's Germany. Here we go.
Deutschland.
Now this is great. Young Republicans chapter plans to host a far-right German leader after I Love Hitler chant.
Oh, gosh.
Now, if you do that in Germany, you're going to get arrested. Ooh. The New York Young Republican Club will host Markus Frontmeier, an ADF deputy chairman, his annual gala after calling for a new civic order in Germany. A New York-based Republican Club will honor a far-right German leader's annual gala after its counterpart was disbanded over a group chat which members praised Adolf Hitler. The city-based New York Young Republican Gala will recognize Markus Frommeyer, a political leader from the alternative German party. Months after his visit, the club appeared to play the party's controversial place in German politics. In August, it opposed a statement calling for a new civic order in Germany addressing AfD über alles. That's why I wanted to say this. If you consider Deutschland über alles. Because you can't say that. You can't say Deutschland über alles. You go to jail in Germany. You get called in. They have a little talk with you, slap you around some. ADF über alles, an adaptation of the phrase associated with Nazi party. They don't bother to tell you it was part of their national anthem. In the statement to Politico, the group defended inviting the German politician, calling the AfD model for fighting the far left and denying their über alles statement was intended to invoke Nazism. German Federal Office for Protection of the Constitution, the country's domestic intelligence agency, had labeled the ADF extremist. Maybe remember some of their candidates died mysteriously during the last election, alleging the party holds a ethnic, racial conception of German people that violates core tenets of the country's democratic order. But the party has been in the Senate for several years, with some polls ranking it most popular in Germany. President Donald Trump's administration and his allies have taken note. Secretary of State Marcus Rubio condemned the German intelligence agency's move to label the party extremist, calling it tyranny in disguise. And Vice President J.D. Vance criticized other parties' efforts to ostracize ADF. And MAGA ally Elon Musk has also been a staunch supporter of the ADF party. So guess what? The people in Germany who want to have Germany for Germans and not be completely overrun through Muslim invaders, Austin, the people are starting to realize that just maybe they're right. 60% of all of the welfare in Germany approximately goes to all the people that are coming in from other countries. They're being forced to pay for millions upon millions of people that Angela Merkel brought in, especially a lot of them from Somalia who have 60 IQs, who didn't know how to flush a toilet, who would go out and poop on the street, poop on the flower beds, poop all over everywhere. I mean, a giant poop nation now. It's like Paris. Paris is nasty now. Paris is disgusting. But the reality is that just maybe you don't want, but you think about it for a second. The boys who took down Building 7 that run the planet. You can call them the Illuminati. You can call them the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. Or you just say the boys who took down Building 7. Now, the nice thing about it, if you say the boys who took down Building 7, 80% of the population doesn't know what you're talking about. We were at dinner the other night, yeah. Austin and I, last year, and we had a full bird colonel there, and we asked him about Building 7. He had no idea what we were talking about.
Unfortunately.
I mean, no idea. So, I mean, over to about 24 years ago, all this happened. That's almost 25 years ago now with Building 7. And people don't really remember that, or they don't even know about it. So if you realize that it's that secretive that an entire skyscraper came down, About 7 hours after the other two buildings were hit by a plane through controlled demolition, then you start to realize the power these people have, Austin. If they have the power to obfuscate Building 7 and nobody knows about it, 80% of the population, that's pretty intensive. That's about what they've got. But these people who take these things down and do all of these things are the same people who control all of what we're talking about today, including the iPhone exposure for children, because they want to have a group of people that are programmable.
That's exactly right.
They want to have you programmed to follow the orders.
Well, and I've said this many times, I'm not going to go into full detail on, do some research on social media programming and what they do, how they sell your data, how they use your data, how they program your data, how they analytically realm your data, and they run around, they take all your information, they watch you. If you don't put tape over your selfie camera, which tells you guys this, when you're on social media, it literally records your entire face the entire time, your facial expression, your smile, your pupil dilation, your anger, all kinds of stuff, and it data logs it with every single post that you look at as you scroll through it. It is insane the level of analytics they have with social media. And so they do this to kids, and after a year or two of this, they have an entire data log on those kids. They know what those kids are going to start liking, what they're thinking.
They know how to trigger them.
They know how to make them mad. They know how to make them excited. They know how to distract them. They know how to do everything.
They show them two or three images on the web in a ad format.
Yeah.
Okay. And they know within four keystrokes what they're going to be looking at next.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they know.
Oh yeah.
It's advanced.
As you start getting older, then they start programming you on what to buy next. They already know what you're going to think about by the ads you're already looking at, and they know where you're going to go next. And they're pretty much about 98% predictively plausible, meaning they know what you're going to do and they're accurate.
Like if you say, I want a new, that new Timex shockproof watch,
yeah.
Okay? And all of a sudden you say it, now all of a sudden ads pop up. Why am I looking at Timex watches?
The microphone's on, too. That was the next thing I was getting at. They listen to and they spy on you. So when you have a conversation you don't want other people to hear.
And by the way, they have your permission to do it because you gave them your permission.
They have your permission to do it. And you put your permissions on. So turn your permissions off if you're not using it. But speaking of unbelievably shady companies again, Bayer stock had its best day in 17 years after support from Trump's solicitor general. This is insane. Nobody's talking about
this. These are the boys that manufacture Roundup.
This is Roundup, and it's disgusting content that it has. Bayer's shares rose 15% on Tuesday as the U.S. Solicitor General backed up the company's bid to get the Supreme Court to curtail all litigation alleging Roundup pesticide causes cancer.
The Supreme Court to curtail it?
This is the U.S.
Over 20 cancers are caused, by the way.
So the U.S. Solicitor General is D. John Sawyer. He's a Duke boy, Oxford boy, Harvard boy. Just leaving it at that. In 2015, he defended a Catholic priest accused of sexually abusing children. Sawyer helped the priest sue his accusers and the police officers who were involved. Eventually, they dropped all charges. That's this John D. Sawyer.
And the record has been fully expunged.
Yep. So he is doing is he's moving to get support for Bayer now to resolve all litigation and get the Supreme Court to basically curtail it and say that there is no direct link between cancer.
Total
Roundup. It's a complete lie. This is crazy here. Solicitor General D. John Sawyer on Monday said the Environmental Protection Agency has repeatedly stated that glyphosate is not likely to be carcinogenic in humans, and the agency has repeatedly approved Roundup labels without cancer warnings. Now, here's the crazy thing about this, okay? You have a compound, an herbicide, that's insanely, insanely toxic. It's been directly linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's had hundreds of cases that have been directly linked to it. But then you got other products, like, you know, you got this stupid Proposition 65 with California that tries to mandate the rest of the country has to put on their labels because California says, oh, we don't like something that's in there, so you have to put these stupid warnings on it. But yet the EPA says, no, it doesn't, no, they don't have to warn about anything on it. Completely safe. You just eat it, make yourself sick, rot your gut. I have the articles on the website of what happens to the rats and what happens to the pigs whenever they've given them Roundup-resistant corn, ready to go, right out the gate.
Well, you know, it goes back to what we've talked about so many times, Austin. You know, when you have a whole group of attorneys that are working for your firm that basically are on salary.
Yeah.
You know, you basically don't have any expenses if you sue somebody.
No, they're already getting paid.
And so we could go on and on and on. This is what happened with Roger Stone. I was sitting there having dinner with him, and he said, they sent 600 attorneys after me. 600. And they all filed these motions, all of them, you know, working together. and it overwhelmed his attorney firm that he had hired. It bankrupted him almost immediately, and then he had nothing. He couldn't do anything. You know, and I know another podcaster who basically came in and got criticized because of Sandy Hook. And the judge didn't go to trial. The judge ruled him guilty and basically told the jury, you got to decide, determine the fine. He's been ruled guilty without even going to trial or even be allowed to present evidence. And when it gets to the point with the judiciary and with these judges and with these attorneys, and they get this corrupt and they know how to play the system like this, there's really no defending yourself. There really isn't. Because they're going to bankrupt you. We had it happen with another friend of ours because he's talking about vitamin D3 helping the immune system. It ended up costing him millions and millions and millions of dollars in legal fees. They finally told him they were going to settle with him for X amount of millions of dollars. And I told him they're not going to do that. They're going to just keep it going or they're going to take your license away. And that's exactly what happened. They ended up basically saying, okay, we're going to go ahead and drop the suit now, but you know, you're not going to be able to sue us either, or we're going to take your license. He pretty much operates outside of the country now. He pretty much moved half the time. He's not even here anymore. He had enough of it. The sad part about it is once they do this to you and they basically decide to attack you like that, it's best if you can do it, if you can just choke it down, just to settle as quick as you can, because they're not going to stop. And the problem with the Roundup is we covered this 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There's over 20 different chemical problems associated with this product that cause cancer and different types of cancers. And I've done extensive podcasts on it, yet it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I stopped using it in my yard.
Oh, yeah.
I won't, because I don't want it in the lake. And here's why I don't want it in the lake. What happens if the poop hits the fan and I got to go fishing and I got to go eat one of these fish? I don't want to eat something that's been chemically contaminated with Roundup. The problem is all the rest of the neighborhood seems to don't care. You know,
because you have crap like this. They come out and the EPA says it's not carcinogenic at all. There's no health problems with glyphosate. It's perfectly safe.
And the studies have repeatedly proven it's not.
I mean, you had the grand jury in California rule in favor of the groundskeeper who contracted non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. They settled, what do you, like $100 million or some crazy settlement?
But the craziest thing, what they do, and here's how they set these studies up. They come up with this bogus stuff. They give a rat Roundup, then they give another rat a different type of Roundup, and they don't have any difference because they both end up dying. We'll say, statistically, it's insignificant. There's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't cause cancer.
Yeah, the placebo group still gets Roundup. They get just a different form of it. Like here, they instead of getting the super concentrate, they give them the concentrate plus the placebo. That's what they do.
No, and they completely skew the data that way. And the sad part about it, you get people like Sauer who comes in and basically says, oh, by the way, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
I don't know what's up with this guy. This guy is one shady individual. The more I read about him,
he's well-educated. He's really connected, bless
him. Oh, he's extremely connected.
Smart
the fact
dude.
That he's coming in now and telling the Supreme Court to curtail all litigation against Bayer now, there's some deep pockets that are funding him.
Well, yeah.
Because he's not stupid. He's very smart. Well, he knows his product causes cancer.
Well, Bayer just went up 15% one day.
Right.
That'd be a great return on your investment.
Yeah, 15%. That bear's been on the floor for a while now because of all the cancer litigation.
That's right.
So this is interesting as well, too. You guys will like this one. This is a bubble gum for the brain. This is starting to circulate. This came out a couple years ago. Too much exercise can lead to death, especially for white men.
Only if they do what you said at the beginning, vomit after you do squats. Don't do that.
No. They say here working out 7 hours a week leads to an early death in cardiovascular
disease.
That's
nonsense.
That's an hour a day.
That's nothing.
But especially if you're white. Only affects you if you're white. If you're a white
man. That's because they want white people to not work out.
They want white men to be fat, lazy, and losers.
Oh, a new study, I need to post it, came out and said that when men, they did it with prison inmates, and they found that when men eat beef and meat, okay,
yeah,
in prison, they get more aggressive and harder to control. When they put them on soy-based products,
there you go,
they become docile like those sheepies.
Like little babies.
Little gritty boys.
Lay in the bed, drink my bottle with my soy milk.
Well, that's why they're
pushing. No, they know that. That's why
four steaks is $100 at Costco now. It's ridiculous.
Well, no, that's why. Now, why do you think Tyson's shutting down those two factories?
Yeah.
It's at the exact same time, you got the lab-grown meat with basically Bill Gates coming in and saying, we've got lab-grown meat. It's super safe for you. We've never done any health studies whatsoever, but we're telling you it's safe because, you know, we love free air. We love everybody to be sick.
Remember the people, the entities that rule the planet, the Kabbalists, Luciferians, Synagogue of Satan, their masters on the other side of the veil, they want us docile. They want us like we were in Genesis 6, where they control every thought of every mind all the time. That's what they want. And what they're doing is they're, again, breaking the rules of engagement. Now, I cover this at Angel Wars about the rules of engagement that were put in place on this planet. The problem is these guys are all in, Austin. When Lucifer did his coup d'etat, attempted coup d'etat, and a third of creation fell trying to go against God Almighty, I talk about this in depth in Angel Wars, he went all in. He threw all his chips on the table. So he doesn't have any chips left. So no matter what he does down here, it's going to always be against the rules of engagement because he has nothing to lose. He's condemned for eternity. So he figures, what the heck? I mean, let's just keep doing this over and over again. And every once in a while, God steps in and says, okay, how about this? We're not going to let you do this again. And he stops it. The problem is we're in the middle of one of those phases again.
Yeah.
He's running around now doing these crazy things. And then Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. That's what is going to happen again. It's going to get really, if we think it's bad now, remember the old song? You ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a whole lot worse.
Well, that's why the financial markets, you see, like silver had another giant spike last night. The CME, doggone commodities exchange, shut down for 8 hours.
No, they can't fill orders.
Well, no, you'll love this. The squeeze escalated at CME because of an outage. They said it had a power outage. Now, here's the crazy part in the article here. Chicago data center overheated and shut down all the key markets across the globe for 10 hours. The data center overheated and shut down the commodities exchange when silver was going through the roof again last night.
Well, that was it.
Really? Y'all really believe that? You know, I have some great Gulf of America waterfront property in Oklahoma, I'll sell you guys, if you actually believe that. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is crazy to me.
Lies, so, lies, and more lies.
The facility was a vital data center for CME Group, the exchange operator behind some of the most heavily traded instruments in international finance, futures tied to U.S. stocks, treasuries, crude oil, and more. Temperature inside the building soaring to 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Somehow, nobody knows how. The result was an outage that lasted 10 hours.
Okay.
And now, silver went back through the roof again. That silver went up $6 an ounce in one day. That's a 12% increase.
Well,
it's
these AI data centers that are sucking the dollar.
Well, I haven't been able to verify this. They said the bid in for this giant data platform, this $500 billion system that the U.S. government has bid out now, whatever the number is, it's something crazy. They're saying that I think it's 500 or 600,000 kilograms of silver they need just for a couple of these main data centers. It came out and I was leaking. I can't verify that 100%, but I looked, then the numbers vetted up, and I couldn't find it again. That's
a lot of silver.
You're about half a million kilos. I guess that would be, you're looking, yeah, you're like 1.2 million pounds of silver. Pounds?
It doesn't exist.
Pounds, not ounces, pounds.
You can't even buy that much.
No. Where do you get that much from?
Well, you heat up the data center, you have to shut it down for 10 hours to get it all calmed back down.
Yeah.
That's how sometimes when the stock market drops a certain amount, they shut the market down.
Shut the market down.
Then everybody cool off.
And then the plunge protection team comes in. Whoa, 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 guys. You guys are betting too hard on the stuff you're not allowed to bet on. Remember, this is a roulette you're playing right now. This is blackjack. This is a giant gambling center. It's all stock market. You guys haven't figured that out yet.
Mm-hmm. And so, well, then the Exchange Stability Fund comes in because the Exchange Stability Fund controls the Treasury. The Treasury is controlled by the Fed, and the Fed is controlled by the Rothschild Banking Cartel.
BlackRock.
Yeah. Fed. Oh, did you see that crap last yesterday? No, forgive the language today. A guy gets on and says, I'm giving $6.25 billion to children under the age of 10. We're going to give them all $250.
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. No, he came on. It was on for like forever. Trump had them all being interviewed and talking about all this stuff. And the guy, Dell computer guy, very sharp guy.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish fellow. And he's actually giving money back. But the problem I want to know is, what's the upside of this? And why are they doing this? And now they're going to have all of these accounts. And who's going to control all this money?
And
it has to be invested in the markets, by the way.
Oh, there you go.
And then when they're 18 years old, they start pulling it back out again.
There you go.
To pay for college, et cetera.
Nah, well, you know what this is. This is a cash injection.
No, what,
that's all
what
it is.
Well, it's going to be more than that because the government's going to start matching a lot of these funds. It reminds me of the Social Security Trust Fund. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
How they borrowed against it, and now there is no Social Security Trust Fund.
There's no trust fund.
And now they're probably, well, this is probably some type of new Social Security program for these young children because the other one's pretty much defunct now.
So they're cash. They're doing a full cash injection into it right now.
But this guy's pretty smart. He wanted to do his high school exams when he's like 8 years old. I mean, this guy's
probably bright, brilliant.
And he dropped out of college. And he did it. It's always funny how they drop out of college and somebody infuses all this money into their little adventures they got. Kind of like Bill Gates. Ooh, did I say that? And so all of a sudden they end up with these billions upon billions of dollars. You always ask yourself a question: who gave them the nod for the Billionaire Boys Club?
That's a fact.
I'm going to let you guys know this, and I mean this very sincerely. There's a certain group of people that basically groom these people to be this. And they're called front guys or cutouts. And they're given this money. And the backside of it is the Rothschilds or one of their slacky looking subsidiaries own this stuff, you know, in the back room. But the reality is they have to have a front person to come in and say, oh, by the way, this guy was so smart, he dropped out of college.
Exactly.
And all
right.
Of a sudden he became, well, he basically Dell Computer, he's worth $50 billion or whatever.
you can get pretty wealthy in the United States if you're not part of that club. You can get $40, $50 million net worth. You can if you're really, really smart. Most of the time, if you have to be in financial markets to do all that. But when you start getting into that billionaire boys club,
doesn't happen without the nod.
No, because there's too much. You have too much power. You can buy too many types of. You know, look what's happened to Kanye West. They took billions away from him.
They had to
because he was, you know,
he started running his mouth about stuff.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they gave him the nod. All of a sudden you look at Michael Jackson. You know, you start when they give you the nod. If you don't march to where you're supposed to do, and you say, everybody knows that Obama's married to a tranny, and that, you know, she's a transgender. It's okay. It's all right. Everybody knows Obama's gay. Suddenly, even if you're Joan Rivers,
she was huge.
That's a big name. Was, still is. All of a sudden, you die under surgery, and you get wrongful death suits going on. Yeah. You know, there's certain things that you don't do when they put you to that level because they know you have too much power. You look at the one guy. What was his name? The guy who died in a helicopter. That basketball player, that black guy.
Oh,
what was his name?
Kobe Bryant.
Yep. You know, all of a sudden, he starts talking about God, starts talking about Jesus.
Yeah,
he gets baptized, starts doing communion, and all of a sudden, they got to shut him up. Because he had done that video, remember, that kid's video about Unleash the Beast Within. Remember that?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he started changing. He got around with Kanye. And all of a sudden, he had to get shut up. He's worth all that money. Oh, by the way, after decades of combat, a SEAL suddenly comes under scrutiny. Admiral Frank M. Bradley will soon face questions from lawmakers as Republicans and Democrats express concerns about a September 2nd attack on a boat in the Caribbean. This is when they killed the survivors. Now, apparently, he wasn't really involved with this, but now they're going to put the blame game
That's
on him
exactly right
because they can't let Hegstick take the hit.
Uh-huh. I saw this earlier. That's exactly what they're doing now. Remember we talked about it? I forgot the guy's name, the one guy that retired. Suddenly, he was doggone general.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
No, yeah.
And all of a sudden, all this narco-terrorism airstrike, drone strike started happening. He said, I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm stepping out of this. I'm not going to be that scapegoat. And, this is basically the admiral now they're saying is now the one that did this is Bradley.
This guy's a SEAL, too. By the way, you talk about a group of people that go through Hell Week or Hell Month or whatever.
Gosh.
I mean, the SEALs, you talk about a whole different level.
Some of the hardest training and the camaraderie and the act, dude, they're you know, just I mean,
SEAL
boys are
wild. I'm talking about
the multiple good. Teams. And so this guy's, I mean, he's well decorated on here. But now, yeah, they got to pull. He got, Hegseth got so much blowback and it started getting coverage on every platform about what happened with the second airstrike on this basically boat that they struck already with the two survivors. And again, I brought it up yesterday, you know, because people are like, oh, well, these guys are running dope. Are they?
How do we know?
Are they? Or is it a bunch of 15, 16-year-old Venezuelan kids that they're giving a couple hundred bucks to go run dope? And they're just
or they're out on a fishing expedition.
Or they're on a fishing expedition. Or they are running dope. But how do we know of anything if it's true or not? Because all they keep doing is airstrike and everything. This reminds me of the era of Obama, when Obama loved that with his drone strikes over the Middle East. And it was just we're playing the same game the doggone Israelis do with, you know, with these platforms, these drones. Suddenly, oh, we know he's a terrorist. Well, guys, you do understand the CIA and Mossad has pretty much built, manufactured, and funded every single terrorist operation in the United States or even the Middle East. You know that. Hamas, all the stuff with, you know, Al-Qaeda, they're all funded and backed. I've talked to the guys on the ground, been there, done that, contractors, dropped the pallets of frag grenades and machine guns off to the same groups that are running around with ISIS flags. We fund and do all of it to all of them. And then we have to have a boogeyman. So now we have this boogeyman in Venezuela that the CIA has created now over decades of narco operations. Now we've got the next boogeyman to go after. Now but we have put a serious armada together out there off the coast. Serious war games with this now because we're going to go in at some point. We're waiting for a reason.
Well, I think he's going to resign. I think he's gonna, the president's going to step down.
Maduro? Well, he already knew it was going to happen. They're going to do the same thing they did.
I'm saying.
Yeah, they're going to have the public executed with the people.
He's trying to negotiate. You know. Honestly, he had a phone call with Trump here a few weeks ago, and he's trying to figure out how to get amnesty and get put away. Nobody wants to be hanged.
No, publicly. That's. Remember what I said a long time ago? Public executions have a real way of deterring behavior. Yeah. They do. They showed that back in the old Western times.
And you know, the thing about it is with Saddam Hussein, I know a lot of people hate it. Okay, I'm not saying he's a good guy. But he didn't have any weapons of mass destruction.
No, he didn't.
And then when they found out he didn't have any Mexican, they turned him over to the people, probably CIA operatives,
oh, yeah.
who hung him. And the sad part about it is that when you realize that when they do that kind of stuff to people, it's more of a it's kind of like you said, it's a deterrent.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember that movie Sicario?
Oh yeah.
They got them. They've got the people been decapitated, hanging upside down, naked from the bridge.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh, they do this to prove a point.
Yeah, show force. This is what happens to you if you snitch.
If you
don't
do
this
right, this
is
what's going to happen to you.
Well, and this, and the, that's the way the CIA operates with these groups. Because remember, the CIA is the one that helped a lot of stuff with Saddam Hussein back in the 80s.
They did.
But this is how they operate. And so what happens is, as soon as these guys get too big for their britches, and they stop listening to CIA, oh, suddenly, we might have to invade your country now, you know, spread democracy. Well, you, dude, you've been funding me and all my dope running for the last 20 years. Yeah, I know, but you're not listening anymore. So, yeah, we're going to need to invade you to spread democracy now. So get ready for it, and we're going to make sure everybody publicly knows and watches you die. Well, gosh, what? You guys gave me all this money. Remember that movie, American Made?
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff with Barry Seal, by the way, the CIA is well documented.
Well, let's say you got a militia guy.
Yeah.
He got a family. He's got a militia guy. Let's talk Branch Davidians.
Yo,
let's use a real example. They show up with tanks, with flamethrowers, okay, and they're out there with loudspeakers and lights all night.
Yeah,
you know, and they surround him. Well, now, there's no way you're going to win this fight.
No, 51-day siege.
Yeah,
51-day siege.
Well, I give them credit. It went 51 days, but you're not going to win.
They
this.
Had almost 100 kids in there.
Yeah,
over 100 kids.
And they went in, and finally they burned the place down and killed a bunch of these children. They said, "Oh, we had to do it, try to save these kids."
Well, they put that flammable CS gas. They knew there were propane tanks. They knew they had incendiaries, and they were pumping them in there. And all of a sudden, the place catches on fire, and they go, "How did this possibly happen? Well, why in the world did you do a 51-day siege on a compound with 100 kids in it when you could have literally arrested David Koresh down at the bar that he was at every single week downtown Waco?" Every week he was down there playing guitar. Oh, we got to do a full ATF show of force raid with 40 agents and machine guns and raid it.
Well, that's what they're doing to the president of Venezuela.
That's what they're doing. Same op.
It's the same op.
It's show of force.
And so he realized there's nothing he can do. How long can he make the siege? Now they've stopped all the airspace above this country.
Yeah.
In other words, you fly in that airspace, we're going to shoot you down for your protection. Okay, well, I mean, he says, I just want to leave. We can't do that
now. Not now. I'm getting a private jet.
By the way,
now.
Speaking of that, 1 in 6 people now are foreign born in the United States. That's 17% of the population.
Wow.
You know, and here's the problem with this. It says that, and they're right. They're saying, unlike previous waves of people, most of these invaders don't share our values.
That's true.
They're coming to take us over, commit crimes, or live off of free stuff. Far left Democrats invited them for free stuff and set up sanctuaries for criminals. It's the truth. They knew what they were doing. It's never been for humanitarian reasons for the ringleaders. And they have a lot of people fooled and still do. The foreign-born share of the U.S. population is now higher than at any other point in history, 17%. Higher than the great wave of immigration in the early 20th century. And it's now time for another period of restricted immigration. In 2023, Somalians in Minnesota sent back over $1.7 billion to their home country. Wow. More than the entire nation's budget. I'm going to repeat that. In 2023, Somalians, even with their 55 IQ, in Minnesota, sent back over $1.7 billion to their home country, more than the entire nation's budget.
That's nuts.
At the same time, they are committing massive fraud via U.S. taxpayer programs to fund that. We've talked about that in detail. The Somalian fraud rings have sent huge sums in remittances or money transfers from Minnesota to Somalia. According to the reports, an estimated 40% of households in Somalia get remittances from abroad. In 2023 alone, Somalia disproportionately sent back $1.7 billion, most of which was collected through fraud. We pay up to 40% of Somalia's GDP. We in America do. Unbelievable.
You
know,
wow.
You know, it says U.S. remittance plays a crucial role in Somalia's economy, accounting for 25 to 40% of the country's GDP. A lot of money comes from the Minnesota taxpayers. Significant contributions made possible by Somalian diaspora, who sent approximately $1.3 billion annually to their relatives in Somalia. And I've seen this over and over and over again. Over and over again, you have people come to this country, get jobs in this country, go in the welfare systems in this country, and send money back to their family who doesn't want to work.
Oh, yeah.
Or can't work, or has various reasons why they don't want to work. Especially in the South America countries are the worst that I've seen with this. They send back sometimes half of their paychecks. I had this one person that I knew. She said, well, it's 6-1 as far as the money to Brazil. So if I send back $1,000 back to Brazil for the month, they get $6,000.
$6,000.
And they can't make anywhere near that money themselves. Yeah. And so it's easier for me to work three jobs and support my family who doesn't want to work.
Well, then the problem is they gave so many incentives for people to come here. I was talking, I had dinner last night with Jason from High Standards 4x4 in Lakeland. If you guys ever need any truck work done, go to that shop. Great guy, retired Marine Corps, incredible work they do over there. And I was talking to him.
What's the name of the company again?
High Standards 4x4.
In Lakeland?
Yeah, Lakeland.
Florida. I've seen the work they've done for you. They do phenomenal work.
Great work. And he said before, it stopped now. He said beginning of the year, he had to go to the VA over in Tampa. So he got over there, had an appointment, and all of a sudden he said there's this giant bus, like a school bus, out front of the VA. And he goes in there, says his appointment, and the lady goes, I'm sorry, we got to change your appointment now. We didn't notify you in time. We got to change your appointment now for a month. And he goes, who are all these people? Oh, these are basically illegals that have been detained, and they won't run them to the hospital because the hospital's privatized. So the state of Florida is bringing them into the VA to do all their physical inspections on them, basically to give them their physicals at the VA. And he said the veterans there were nuts. He said, we thought we're about to go another war again. They're yelling and screaming. What are you talking about? We're at the VA. We had an appointment for a month. We're here to get checked out. And now you've got illegals here, 50-plus of them standing in line, getting in front of us now. They're not supposed to be here. He said it was a giant boondock. He said it has not happened since. He said a lot of stuff has gotten cut. He said what he found out they were doing is they were using all the medical VA hospitals to give aid and to give hospital usage, any type of health care, to these illegals under the VA to wash the money out so they wouldn't have to cut checks to basically the private medical places like Advent Health and stuff.
Unbelievable.
They're using the VA and funding cash to them to basically give all these illegals health care. They could go to the VA anytime they wanted.
Well, it's clobbering and pivoting, Austin.
Insane.
It basically, you know, Berkeley professors said the way you overwhelm the republic is overwhelm them with social welfare systems until you bankrupt the country, which is what they've done.
Exactly what they're doing.
In fact, Oregon's the part. Now, I have to agree with him on this one. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Oregon's Democratic Attorney General threatens to arrest federal agents for enforcing immigration law and protecting Portland ICE facility. Oregon's Democratic Attorney General is basically issuing a warning to the Department of Homeland Security. Federal agents operating in Oregon could be arrested and prosecuted if the state believes excessive force is being used while protecting the Portland ICE facility or detaining illegal immigrants. The problem we have here is we see the same thing happen in the Civil War of the United States. When the federal government starts getting involved in states' rights, it causes a lot of problems because the states, before the Civil War, every state was like its own country.
Yep.
And they have their own constitution.
They do. They have their own Florida constitution.
They have their own Supreme Court, and they're only supposed to come together in times of extreme, you know, trauma, like we're being attacked, and we coalesce. Until after the Civil War, they kind of did a lot more with the federal government overreach. And quite frankly, I think states' rights. Well, that one guy yesterday said, "Where if we come in, we'll do whatever we want to do. We don't even have to listen to the sheriff."
Yeah.
What the heck is that?
And here's the flip side of this that's happened though: is you've got these states now that have completely violated U.S. law and removed any of these aspects of legal immigration, and they're literally funding, they're taking state funds that the federal government gave them, and they're using them to fund illegal immigration and give these guys housing, give them health care, give them transportation, give them food and SNAP benefits. And so the feds coming in with ICE, and they're saying, you're completely violating constitutional law. You're breaking it. Well, it doesn't matter. We've changed the law now in the state.
That one judge who helped facilitate that immigrant getting
personally hand-walked him out.
Well, she basically is facing 6 years in prison now. And so you ask yourself a question, where do you draw the line on all this? I mean, the problem is our judiciary, as we've seen with Bear today, is broken.
Yes, it's very compromised now.
No, our court system doesn't work anymore. It's compromised. And then what you run into is you run into people who don't. Years ago, I had a pastor friend of mine. This lady said that her child had been, you know, basically grabbed in a nursery and had been bruised, and she sued this church for millions of dollars. Well, the cameras showed that it never happened. The people in the nursery said it never happened, and the cameras were never allowed to be admitted as evidence.
Yep.
And the people who saw that it never happened were never allowed to testify, and they ended up having to pay millions of dollars out to this person who basically the church was found guilty without even presenting its own evidence.
Yeah.
And you think, now this is 20 years ago. You think, what the heck happened here? Happens all the time, guys. That's why it's best to stay out of the court system, because you don't know what's going to happen to you there.
Don't. It's a gamble.
That's why so many people just take a plea bargain.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't do anything wrong, you know, just take a plea bargain. Just get it out of the system.
And that's the problem, though, is that sometimes, because when you have such a show of force, in some cases, if you didn't even do anything, you're so nervous about what they're going to try to do and try to convict you on, sometimes on the rate of a judge or a jury trial. That's a gamble. Guys, thank you for the support. The vitamin C powder. That will be changing for product of the week today, so be sure to check that out later on this afternoon. The prostate support will still be up for a while. I always leave that going for a minute. And then the vitamin C will be coming up on sale. If you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your reviews. Keep putting the reviews up there. I haven't forgot about you guys. I'm watching some of the bestsellers. I'm seeing what you guys are going to run the most reviews up on now. I think it's like the GHI and the magnesium brain food and one of the other ones. I'm seeing where you guys take it. So keep giving me some reviews. I appreciate it. Have a blessed evening, my friends.
Love you guys. I appreciate it. Always keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. We love you so much. And again, thanks for your support.